Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This week, I am at Brew Tulum, which is now downtown, also with the Cobblestone, which is a market, deli, cafe. Laura McNamara is one of the owners of Brew Tulum. Thank you for inviting me over.
Thank you for having me.
So I think a lot of people know Brew Tulum from being in the Del Mar Loop.
Correct.
That place closed, right?
We unfortunately had to permanently close that location.
And that was flooded?
No. Due to a lead hazard we discovered, there was lead dust contamination left over from the remodeling of the space, which was performed by the landlord, and we also found unsealed chipping lead paint on the walls.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
It's not a good thing. So you're now at First and Lucas, right next to the Arch. You have the coffee shop open, but the Mexican restaurant is still to come.
Correct. So we came down here first to the Landing to do some pop-ups. Abstract Marketing Group is down here, so we kind of catered to that profile. And while we were down here, we hooked up with the ownership, one of the owners of several buildings down here, and they started showing us some spaces, and we immediately fell in love for many reasons. You can see all the hard work they put into the Landing and bringing it back and restoring it, and it just has this beautiful nostalgia. They repaved the cobblestone streets. You have planters with flowers. You've got Eads Bridge and that beautiful architecture, and not to mention the National Monument right next door. Beautiful views of the river, buildings that have, you know, these big, tall, stately windows and wooden rafters overhead. My husband, who is Mexican, he was born in Mexico City but then moved to Cancun, but he fell in love too, and it even reminded him of kind of the old world buildings you find in Mexico City near the Zocalo. So he just thought it's a perfect fit, and the next puzzle piece was to figure out how we could pull it off.
So why did you choose this spot? I mean, obviously you just described how beautiful it is and all that, but based on the history of this area, in terms of not working, they had, you know, there were lots of places here before and they all closed. So I'm just curious why you chose this spot.
Well, you know, our first location was also in an area that was pretty much dead. It didn't have any food scene or anything like that. It had a little bit of the art scene, which was what we were really attracted to. So one, we know our concept can attract people to an area that wants to come alive again. Two, we know that the Landing has had its ups and downs, but it's definitely had its heydays. So we know the Landing can work. That's been proven. Also, we love the concept of this particular ownership group that we're working with in the, you know, Phoenix rising from the ashes again for the Landing. They brought in a residential component. They put in a lot of apartments down here. So we think that was probably the missing piece to create even more sustainability, not just entertainment, which is definitely what they're bringing in, restaurants and different things like that, but also the residential component plus the business component. So you're creating a very sustainable, dynamic neighborhood. Also, our concept, just unique to us, is we got our start in Mexico in Tulum. Tulum is 100% a tourist economy. So we had some battles there, including like an issue with seaweed where the tourism really dropped off. And so we had to capture what little tourism was coming into all of Tulum, and we created these experiences called coffee tastings, roast a cup, master the brew. And so we already know how to cater to tourism. And here in St. Louis, this location has that unique element too, where you get a lot of tourists coming in to visit the National Monument right next door. So we've already proven the concept with the local community in the city, and we feel we've already proven the concept for the tourist community in Tulum. So we feel like we're a good fit for an area that has the draw of both, and we can kind of cater to and engage both of those. And then finally, too, the ownership group was also very willing to work with us. They knew our story. They knew the hardship we were coming out of. And they looked for solutions on how we could collaborate and, you know, work on coming back together. Brew Tulum coming back, the landing coming back. Their stories that it just kind of were in synchronicity as far as we're all pushing for something to regrow and bring to life again. And we love that, too. We love those stories of places that seem to be forgotten or can't be really utilized well, and seeing the potential and saying, no, there's a treasure here. Let's polish it off, dust it off, and make it shine again.
Well, let's go back to Mexico. Tell me the story of how that came about.
That's a good question. A little bit down the rabbit hole. So I was living in Mexico. I went to Playa del Carmen for 2 weeks. I had been traveling out of my backpack as a digital journalist.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from St. Charles, so Greater St. Louis.
Okay. You have
graduated
a little
from
bit
Mizzou.
Of an accent, I think. Am I wrong?
I know. I graduated and took off traveling. I thought I would be able to pull it off for a year and maybe go back to law school at Wash U. 8 years later, I was still traveling. Mm-hmm. On the tail end of that 8 years, I went to Playa del Carmen, thought I was visiting for 2 weeks as another stop off in my travels. 10 years later, I was still there. I fell in love with the Mexican Caribbean. While I was there, I opened a photography business, but then I got into real estate, and then that is how I met my now husband. At the time I met my husband, he didn't even drink coffee. People can't believe that now because he's like the ambassador for Mexican coffee, and he's totally taken ownership and become an excellent, knowledgeable barista. But how did we get into it? So I had just come from Guatemala. I had already visited Vietnam and other parts of my travels, and I started to get acquainted with the taste of just fresh roasted, getting close to the source coffee versus what we're talking a while ago, but the era of, you know, vacuum sealed containers, tin containers, coffee. And it's night and day, the difference. It's like thinking, you know, you've got bunny bread and then you've got fresh baked bread out of the oven. And once you've had the other, you're like, whoa, I didn't realize bread could taste so amazing. Kind of the same thing with coffee. So when I was in Guatemala, it was the first time that I really was like, I taste what I smell. Which is awesome, because a lot of times there's a disconnect. Coffee can smell so good, it attracts us, but then we drink it and we're like, it falls flat, it's too bitter, it's a little stale. So it's in Guatemala that I tasted fresh roasted coffee. I come to Mexico and I'm like, okay, you know, they share a lot of the same volcanic lands, a lot of the same mountain ranges, you know, and so I should have the same experience. But to my dismay, especially in the Mexican Caribbean, again, at that time, we're talking a while ago. I don't want to say how, I've already given some years, but it was an area that was just newly built. It didn't have the history of like Merida, even in the Yucatan, and certainly not like Mexico City. It was an area that was Mayan, but then jungle, and then was just kind of being reutilized, rebuilt for tourism. So it didn't have the layers of culture and history kind of in the recent Mexican history. So they were using a lot of soluble coffee, and I was in dismay and thinking, where is their coffee? I know Mexico grows good coffee. So finally I found a gentleman who promoted having specialty grade Mexican coffee out of Veracruz. He was a third generation of coffee growers, and he had actually brought his roaster, an old vintage roaster, from Veracruz, Mexico to the Mexican Caribbean, and he was roasting coffee on site. And he didn't even advertise that part of it because he didn't realize the value, because he grew up with roasting fresh and didn't realize most people get coffee that has been roasted, pre-ground, and then shipped overseas, then sitting in storage, and then finally on the shelves, and then finally bought. So I tasted his coffee, fell in love. He became my go-to coffee source. And then my husband, one day, after seeing me drink lots of coffee, when we first met, we started plotting business before we even started dating, both entrepreneurial-minded. And he said, you know what, I would like some coffee. But then he goes to reach for soluble coffee. And
explain that term.
Soluble. So the dissolvable coffee, the coffee you can kind of just spoon out and put into hot water and stir it, and it creates a coffee-like drink.
Right. So versus
beans.
Ground beans.
Right. Versus, well, ground, like real grounds that you have to infuse in water, but that is still second to having beans that you grind fresh. So I said, wait. I didn't have coffee on me at the moment, so I call up the gentleman. He had had different iterations of coffee shops and places in Mexico, but right this moment he was doing delivery. So I call him up and I was like, I urgently need coffee. Can you get here? And he's like, I can be there in 30 minutes. But then he was a character because he rolls up, you know, in a leather jacket, slicked back hair, ponytail, all painted all black dirt bike with a skull on the front, and then hands me an unmarked black bag. And AJ, my now husband, turns to me and said, what did you just order? And I'm like, I promise it's just coffee. But, you know, Mad Max style character, and just real fun. And so I pulled out the beans, and I, at that point, had already started traveling with at least a little spice grinder. Not the best kind of grind for coffee.
Just traveling with one.
Yes. I would pack, this was before the age of the AeroPress, so I would pack a French press and stuff it with clothes in my bag so it wouldn't break, because they were all glass at that time, too. And I pulled all that out, and I ground fresh the beans, and I made some coffee, and I gave him some, and he just sat back, and he was like, whoa, I've never had coffee taste like this. I didn't know this is what coffee tastes like. I'm like, and this is Mexican coffee. This is your coffee. Like, how do you not know? And that was another thing I found, again, back then, and all that is changing, especially now. But there was that kind of the same story where Mexico, the more you dig into it, I came to find that they are arguably the number one exporter of specialty grade organic. When you pair those two qualifications together, they're always, you know, in the top, arguably number one in the world for that. But the problem was, is most of all that was going out for export, and then the national culture didn't get to enjoy that and didn't even have a culture for demanding that quality. So they weren't really acquainted with it. And that's, you know, goes for a lot of produce and stuff in these, sometimes in these countries. But I was like, yeah, that's Mexican coffee. And he just got thrilled and really excited. And the rest is history.
How did you end up back here?
How did we end up back here? The pandemic.
Okay.
So the pandemic closed us down, and we played the waiting game. Two more weeks. It turned into 9 months, and we just couldn't survive anymore. And we didn't know when we were going to be able to open back up. And you're certainly not...
In Mexico.
Yeah. And you're certainly not serving fresh roasted specialty grade coffee in, you know, nice pour overs to the local Mayans who climb up a palm tree and grab their coconuts and fish and spearfish and grab their, you know, they're pretty self-sufficient. So they don't come knocking on your door.
So you ended up back here because that's where you're from.
Correct. So we came and we landed with my family again, and we decided to focus on, while we were down there and before the pandemic, we had executed those experiences. And a lot of tourists to Mexico and Tulum, Playa del Carmen, are from the U.S. and Canada. And there were already a ton of people saying, okay, you made us fall in love with your product. How do we get it in the U.S.? And that was a puzzle piece we hadn't been able to figure out yet. So that was what we focused on. And right at the same time, one of the producers we worked with directly was doing his very first shipment to the U.S., had enough buyers to put together a full container, and we're like, "Woo!" It was just great timing. So we jumped in on that and committed to part of that shipment, and we also were thrilled to find out that St. Louis was one of the, there's a concept called First Crack, where they have a whole bunch of roasters.
First Crack,
okay. Yes. And they allow you to rent the roaster by the hour, and that was a very new concept as well. So that was huge, because one of the biggest hurdles as a small business and small batch roaster is just the huge investment you need to make in this roasting equipment, the installation, the permits that go along with it. That's a big barrier to the industry. So that barrier was just basically totally broken down. So we were able to get the coffee in. We were able to roast and rent the equipment by the hour. We jumped into farmers markets, starting off in St. Charles, where I'm from, and then Lake St. Louis. And there is a specific product we offer called Café de Olla. So that's traditional Mexican spiced coffee. It's coffee brewed with cinnamon and at least Piloncillo, that's kind of the watered down version, but the older version, it dates back to the Mexican Revolution. The Adelitas were the women who accompanied the soldiers to the battlefield. They prepared camp, made food, some fought, but they would brew coffee in these big clay pots, and they would add to the coffee the cinnamon, the piloncillo, which is raw sugar cane, and then also cinnamon, and they would use clove. We tweaked our recipe a little bit, and I substituted clove for a similar spice, cardamom, which also has a long history with coffee. Yeah.
It sounds really good.
Yeah. Well, and when I first had it in Mexico, I was drinking it all the time. I was like, this is the best coffee, because you're getting flavors in it, but they're real pure ingredients as well. No
right.
syrups, no, you know, just...
Right.
And I was kind of also baffled. I was like, of all the things we've imported already from the Mexican culture, we know about tacos, we know about fiestas and sombreros and maracas and mariachi and margaritas. How do we not know about Café de Olla? How is this not a thing, a widespread thing? So we started, we made up our own recipe, started serving them at the farmer's market, quickly became very popular. It has turned many a non-coffee drinker into a coffee drinker. Not to mention, too, that we use and we're very committed to using specialty grade, strictly high-grown, and also fresh-roasted. We roast everything fresh here locally. We import our beans green, direct trade with the producers. So that combination, we're just dedicated to kind of going back to the roots. You can call it part of the slow food movement of just doing it right, getting the quality.
Yeah.
That's what's key.
Now, where did the leap come to the food?
Great question.
People, when I've heard about Brew to Bloom, people always rave about the food. So what happened there?
It's another awesome question. So after we get going here, we still had our apartment and things down in Mexico. Mm. Things start to loosen up, travel's on again. So AJ decides to go back and just check on our things. Mm-hmm. And he calls me from the airport and he's like, oh my gosh, it's busier than even before the pandemic. Like, it is swamped. So that work from home stage, it seemed like a lot of portion of the work from home decided to go to Tulum and work from home. They got these long-term Airbnb rentals, and it just got flooded. So he's like, I'm going to find a place. We're going to put our... Because we had all of our equipment down there. He's like, I'm opening back up.
Down there?
Down there.
Okay.
So he pulled it off. He found a spot, and he got our stuff moved in, and he opened back up while I continued to run the markets and stuff up here. And at that time, we were already negotiating the space on Del Mar. So, and then the space he found had a kitchen, just randomly.
Okay.
It wasn't a requirement. It's just, you know, the space we found inside a small boutique hotel. And he's like, well, if it's got a kitchen, I'm using it. And so, and then with my component, as an avid traveler, I know what a traveler looks for when they visit another culture. And that's why we only focus on Mexican coffee. There are, even right next door, Guatemala has great coffees and things like that. But when you go somewhere, you want a sense of the culture you're visiting. So we stuck with Mexican coffee. Mexico has, out of the 32 states in Mexico, 16 grow coffee, and they all have their different notes and flavors. So that's our thing. And I told him, okay, well, then we got to go back to the foods that I discovered slowly here becoming more of a local. Things like chilaquiles, you might have heard it more on the coast in the U.S., but not so much in the Midwest yet. Chilaquiles is the quintessential Mexican breakfast, and it's delicious. Nachos, for example, are not even Mexican. You'll only find nachos at a Americanized location in Mexico. That's it. But maybe, I think, perhaps they were inspired by chilaquiles, because chilaquiles uses the tortilla. The families would take tortillas that you know, were left over from the dinner. They'd cut them up into pieces, fry them fresh, and then just douse them in salsa, put eggs, even steak or chicken on it, the cilantro, the fresh Mexican cheese, and also the Mexican cream, not to be confused with sour cream, which is often used as a substitute, but it is not the correct cream. It's more like the French creme fraiche. But, And yeah, it's just really satisfying and good, and especially when you make, you know, the salsa homemade and fresh ingredients too with the chili peppers. So that's one thing. And then we picked other elements that were just very typical, but yet not so well known in Mexican cuisine for our menu, because that's what I was delighted by. I grew up going to Mexican restaurants in St. Louis, and when I got down there, I was like, where's the chimichanga? Oh, wait, that doesn't exist down here. So realizing, you know, I thought I knew what Mexican food was, and I didn't. And it was really fun to discover the real Mexican food and all the lovely notes and flavors. And
yeah, and I'm sure people who have traveled at all appreciate the fact that you're doing that as opposed to Americanized Mexican food.
Yeah, and I mean, I understand when you open a business, you know, it's hard. And a lot of these places used what was on hand. And now we open in a time, too, where there is a lot more global trade. We have access to a lot more kind of niche foods than in the past. So there were a lot of barriers for the first Mexican restaurants coming through. They just had to use the ingredients they could get their hands on and replicate something as close as possible. And I think over time that just got, you know, turned into its own thing. But now we're very fortunate. We can. It's still a challenge.
Yeah.
It still raises your costs, but you can find it. And so that's what we're dedicated to doing.
So right now you have the coffee shop open here at the Landing. But the food, the restaurant part is, when is that open?
We had hopes that we were going to be able to do it early winter. Retrofitting these older buildings and sometimes... we've come across some hiccups, and then also waiting for right now too, it's just getting bids from suppliers and stuff. I think so many people have gone the route of digital, and there's less tradesmen, so there's less to go around, so it makes getting things done a little bit slower. And our biggest hang up so far has been just getting bids on a big project we need for an exhaust system, and so far that's a hang up. So now we're looking early spring next year, I think, is going to be more realistic.
So what is the vision for this reiteration of this area? You mentioned entertainment. You guys obviously will have a restaurant here. You've got a market and deli. What do you think the bigger vision is?
The bigger vision, so that's like Advantis Group is a big partner in that because they own a lot of the buildings down here, and then there's a couple other owners too, and they want to bring the entertainment back. Like, this is Laclede's Landing. This is one of the most, this is where it all started in St. Louis. It needs to be activated. It needs to be valued and treasured. We need to bring that history alive, and we need to use it as a draw for tourism.
And when you say entertainment, what are you talking about specifically?
I'm not the one in control of it. But they definitely want to get more lounges. I know there's a plan. They want a rooftop wine bar is another vision. I personally keep throwing out there someone needs to open like a ragtime piano bar.
Oh, that would be cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be cool.
All right. I also just throw this out there. I'm full of great ideas. But the other day too, I was thinking about it and like the bridge and stuff. But I got wind that Gotham City is St. Louis, like flipped around, and that's been to me. I'm like, why don't we own that?
Yeah.
Why does St. Louis not have a big, huge Batman spotlight? Why don't we not have like a Gotham City exhibit? Like we should totally own that. Like, there's just so many things that could be done.
Yeah, no, especially with downtown on the riverfront.
Yeah,
that's the one area where it's just constantly. If you go to other cities like Cincinnati or Pittsburgh that are on rivers, major rivers,
you've got restaurants and.
Developed.
Yes.
Yes. Entertainment districts.
River walks.
Stadiums. Everything.
Correct. Yep. And I do know that there are talks about the river walks, and they're doing, you know, Greater St. Louis Inc. has been really trying to get those greenways connected and they're, you know, make it more bikeable and walkable, which I think is a huge component. The wonderful job they did with the national park, you know, the arch grounds, they're just stunning and beautiful, and they created even, you know, different elevations so you can get different perspectives. It's really stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just a 5-minute walk to the base of the arch. And again, right here inside the cobblestone, you look out the windows and you're just admiring the Eads Bridge, which was an architectural feat in its day. And they, as I understand it, came from Paris to study it to then build the Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Because of some of the techniques used in the pilings and stuff. So we need to be highlighting that more and showing that history. But... yeah, those are more of my ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know they want to do a wine bar, and they want to bring entertainment, and they want restaurants and the river walk and things like that. Those are definitely things that have been talked about by the powers that be that don't involve me as a small business owner down here. But,
well, you've got enough to worry about.
Yeah.
Opening absolutely. A restaurant.
Yes.
And running a coffee shop. Is there anything else you want to mention?
So some people have asked, are we going to stay here inside the cobblestone once we get the next location open, just, you know, at the next corner. And our goal is, yes, if we can manage the two rents in such a small vicinity. And the reason being is at our Del Mar location, we quickly ran into a little bit of the problem of the fact that we catered to that coffee shop vibe, but also that restaurant vibe, especially on the weekends. Sometimes we had people coming in that wanted quality coffee, but they needed that quick coffee service. And due to the amount of people we had, we just couldn't deliver on a quick coffee. So we think if we can pull it off, this would be fantastic, because then we can direct people who need more of the, like, I'm in and out and I just need to get my coffee over to here at Cobblestone, and they can also grab something from the grocer or anything. And then the people who want the full on sit down dining experience and enjoy all the Mexican handcrafted eats we have to offer, maybe some of the slower pour coffees that we do, and a cup of excellent coffees. And we even want to create an experience where you can order a coffee that's roasted on site, and that will take time. So hopefully we'll be able to grow in and to fit both of those niches here, and that's the idea.
Laura McNamara, co-owner of Brew Tulum. It's at First and Lucas right now, the coffee shop part. It'll be at Second and Lucas, same building, with the Cobblestone Market. Hopefully the restaurant will be opening next year. But thanks so much for inviting me in, and good luck.
No, thank you so much for coming and hearing a little bit about our story.
Yeah, it's a great story. It really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.